Okay. First of all, Rishus, Daniel, Shirsus, and Daniel. And Rishus, Aaron, Riv Aaron. It's like that. Fine, so we left off. Oh, Rishus, Aaron. We left off at the bottom of Lamed Ches on the base. And I guess we'll just read it tomorrow. And everyone's there. Great, Gabaldic. Amr Le, Rib Yirmia, Rib Zero. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Zera Rabbi Yochanan heichim bevarach azayis maliach. How did Rabbi Yochanan make a bracha on the zayis maliach? Kevun de shakila legarine, bater le shiura." So, Pashas, the way to translate it is, and the way we're going to translate it for now, and we're going to read Tosfos in a minute, and he's going to say like this: the question of Bevarich was, how could he make a bracha acharona on the zayis maliach? Because why? Kevun de shakila legarine, since the pit was removed from inside the olive, bater le shiura, now the size of the olive is not big enough for a proper shear. So the question we have to ask, what does Mevarich mean? So we already said Tosos. Tosos means Davka Baracha Shel Acher, talking about Baracha Achrona. Is there any other way to say it? Could you say that we're talking about Baracha Rishona? Potentially, we'll see that at the end. That's a Kolbo, which we were discussing before, because it's very unclear exactly how you could say a Baracha Achrona needs a shear, because if we know Baracha Achrona is also lehonas b'lam azebel bracha, that it's also to get any anah out of a food without making a bracha first, so it shouldn't require shear at all. It should be exactly when I take a little taste, I should have to make a bracha rishona. So that's why Tosfos wants to say that we're talking about a bracha achrona. So the assumption for now is that we're talking about a bracha achrona, and the reason why the Gemara says that it's maybe not shayach to make a bracha there is because it's less than the shear, because the pit was removed. And the Gemara continues, Amr le misavarta k'zayis gadol bo'inan k'zayis benani bo'inan. Maybe we're not talking about a zayis that we don't maybe need a zayis gadol in order to make a bracha. Rather, all we need to make a bracha achrona is the size of a zayis that's a benoni. And v'ha'ika, we have that. How do we have that? So the Gemara brings a case. So who the ice of the kamei Rabbi Yochanan zayis gadol haba? They brought him a zayis gadol. The achagad the shaklu legarnisa pash leshira. Even though they removed the pit, there was still a size of the benoni. The tnan zayis she'amru lo katan v'lo gadol ela benoni. What do we see from this? That you don't need a Zayas Gadol. All you need is a Zayas Benoni, and that is good enough. And that's what we were saying before, that even though you remove the pit, and now it's not a Zayas Gadol anymore. So that's totally fine. Why? Because I have a Zayas that's the size of Benoni. So I guess we'll take a look at Tosfos, or first we look at Rashi. And then we'll take a look at Tosfos, and we'll get into some of the nitty gritty Tosfos that we spent a long time on. Fine. So Rashi says, "Bater le shira." Says v'gabe birchas peiros haaretz achila k'siva v'achila b'kazayis. Why is it bater le shira? Because by achila, I need a kazayis in order to be chayav in birchas hamazon. That's probably l'chora a derabanan concept, but maybe a deraisa depending on how you hold. But let's say it's derabanan. That in order to make a bracha achrona, I need at least a kazayis. And here, bater le shira, I'm lacking in that kezayis. Okay, fine. Kezayis she'amru, the inyan shir kol achilos. This is the inyan of the shir of kol achilos. Kol achilos, the shir is a kezayis. And the last thing we said, we didn't say anything else. So that all we know from Rashi now is just that, what's the shir achila? The shir achila is a kezayis. L'chora, and the havamin of the Gemara is that when I remove the pit, there's no longer that shir kezayis anymore. And therefore, how could it be that Rav Yochanan would make a bracha achrona? It must be that the size of the Benoni. That's what the Gemara says. Fine. Now we'll just go to Tosfos. And Tosfos, we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty details of what's going on here. So first, Tosfos says, Bater le shira. He says, Hainu dafka bracha shel achra, which is what we talked about before, that mevarech means bracha acharona. Deba'inon shir, aval. Bebracha shel afanov, he says, afilu pachos make a shir, de'alser lehanas b'olam azeh below bracha. Can't be talking about a bracha rishona. Why can't I be talking about a bracha rishona in our case? Because a bracha rishona is also lianas v'lam azeh below bracha. That a bracha rishona is specifically on any amount, because you're not allowed to get hana without making a bracha first. Bein le'inyan achila, bein le'inyan shtia. Both for achila and for shtia, says Tosfos, pachos mikash, even if it's less than the shear, also lianas v'lam azeh below bracha. Bracha rishona, it needs any shear amount. Avav bracha shela acharav, ba'inan shear melo logma. So this is the first idea that we were talking about. What exactly is the size that you need in order to make a bracha achrona? So this is for, not necessarily for shtia, but this is really only for, I guess we could talk about both. What would be the bracha on, what would the size be for a bracha achrona on a food item? So we know the Torah tells us, v'achalta v'savato v'irachta. So the Dil writes a shear for a food amount that you need to make a bracha achrona on is v'savata, anything that I have k'dei svia. Derabbanan, maybe the concept is a little bit different. Tosfos explains that really it's only a shear that's a kazayis or a kabetza in other places, Tosfos in Yuma, Tosfos in Sukkah. They explain for shear achila, so that's talking about a kazayis or a kabetza, and that would be only a derabbanan concept. So for in general, when we talk about achila, what's the bracha achrona on? It's either on a kazayis or kabetza, or it's on a deraisa level, it's actually v'achalta v'savata v'irachta. So that's for achila. For shtia, so we have a massive machlokes between a bunch of different tosafim, a Rambam, and I think it's a Rush, but I don't remember. But for us, for starters, Tosos tells us about a bracha linyan shtia potentially, and he says, aval b'bracha shla'achra ba'idan shir melo logma. So what's the shir that one would require someone to make a bracha achrona on shtia? That is, says Tosos right here, melo lugma. Probably doesn't mean melo lugma. It probably means kimelo lugma. And I guess Ayin Shom Aaron's footnote to see why that would be true. But it's most likely kimelo lugma. And Tosos tells us, therefore, al kein yesh lizar lishtos mikol shel bracha. We'll get to that in a minute after we talk about the shirim. Why? What does that actually mean? But according to Tosos, the shir for shtia, for bracha achrona, is a melo lugma. If you look in other places, I think this is Tosos here or later, and also the Rambam specifically, the Rambam is more famous, he says that, and I think it's the Gra changes the Girsa on our Tosfos, and it's a Rambam later, that really what is the size that one would be required to say Bracha Achrona on? Not a Melo Lugma like Tosos says here, but really it changes to a Revius. Okay, so if you look over there in the Rambam, he'll tell you that. The Gra actually makes that Girsa change on our Tosos and some of the Gemaras. I think maybe it's in Daniel's Gemara, I'm not sure. He has all the Girsas, but it's not Melolugma, but really it's Revius. If you look in the Rosh and Brachos, the Tosos in Sukkah, and the Tosos in Yuma, he says the Shir isn't a Melolugma, it's not a Revius, but it's actually a Kezias. And the last Shita was the Tosos in Sukkah and the Tosos in Yuma, which said that it's not a Shir Kezias, it's not a Revius, it's not a Melolugma, but it's actually a Kebetza. And so it's a four-way machlokes. And if you look in the Mishnah Brura, if you want to know how to paskin, so me and Jared spent many times trying to get this down, but what's the order, the size of from biggest to smallest? So Revius is the biggest. It's a kebetza and a half, so it's like 1.5. And then you have a Melo Lugma, which is a Rov Revius. And then you have a kebetza, which is its own self. And then you have a kezias. So the smallest shear is a kezias. The second smallest is melolugma. Then a kebetza, and then a revius. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us that one should be machmir not to have less than a kezias, and not to have more than a revius if one doesn't want to bench. But those are the shearim that we said is a horay machlokas. But back to what we said before, when Tosos in our Gemara is quoting kimelolugma, he says therefore yesh li zayir that you should use a koshel bracha. So the question is, you would have an obligation to use a kosher bracha anyway without the melo lugma. So why does Tosos say, therefore, since you need a melo lugma, oh, you should use a kosher bracha. Why should use a kosher bracha anyway? And then maybe I'll get to melo lugma. That's very nice. And also we know additionally that there's a halacha that if you want, why couldn't it be that we have a melo lugma and then I take a sip and us four, we all have a little sip and then none of us make a bracha achron at all? Why does it have to be that I have to have a full melo lugma in a kosher bracha? Why is the kosher bracha coming to show us, oh, since I have melo lugma, therefore, yesh lizar lishtos mi kosher bracha? I didn't fully chap. Maybe someone understands why this would be. I don't remember. We had a dochik shot. So why?
The
Sufik
bring a fashos.
The Sufik born a fashos. Oh, fine. So the re later, that's what you're saying about the re. Yeah, the re later says that if you have less than a shear, you don't need bar nefashos at all. If you look later, the next line, varia yomer bar nefashos kiven the lab bracha chashuva. Wow. So you would say even on less than a kezias, you make a bar nefashos. So Tosos is actually misupok. Well, this is what we wanted to say. Tosos is actually misupok. What was he misupok about? He was saying, is the re correct? Probably not. And therefore, if I were to then go around and have everyone have a melo lugma, we would all be in suffik bracha of a bar nefashos, because the re says even on something that's less than a shear, which we'll get to in a minute, you would make a bor nefashos. So if that's true, if something that's less than a shear, bor nefashos would be allowed, so then maybe you could say that, oh, if I have a little bit of a melo lugma and Daniel has a little bit of a melo lugma and Kalina has a little bit of a melo lugma and we all have less than a melo lugma, so then maybe we all wouldn't have to say bor nefashos at all. And because the Ri comes and says, no, you would have to say bor nefashos, so Tosfos wants to make sure dafka that you have a melo lugma by yourself in order to make sure that when you're saying a bor nefashos, you're saying a bor nefashos kipshuto, exactly how it's supposed to be. So therefore, he says, oh, okay, Nyeshi Zar Lishos Mikol Shabracha. Why? La Fuke, the Ri's chat later, that said, even on something that's less than the shear, you make a bor nefashos.
I think you'd make the alagafen.
Yeah.
You make an alagafen.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Yeah, yeah.
Meaning, if you do
sorry, instead of bor nefashos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And not that you'll make a bor nefashos, but you'll make an alagafen. Okay, yeah, perfect. Yeah? Perfect. Then Tosfos continues, the next Indian. He says, "Vari ha'yomer bebori nefashos kivon delav bracha chashuva hi afilu bebater mishiura mevarkin and bori nefashos rabbis." Even something that's less than the shear, bori nefashos would be allowed. You're allowed to say bori nefashos on anything less than the shear. You see something later with, or maybe it's earlier with Shahako by the Rabbeinu Yono, who says that Shahako is all encompassing. Also, or Moshe Tshuva, but this is a similar idea that bori nefashos would be able to tackle any suffik bracha chorona problems, because you could say it at any time, even less than the shear. But he uses the lashon of delav bracha chashuvahi, and we wondered in shear why that would be. Why would it be lav bracha chashuvahi? What's lav bracha chashuva? So we saw a shadrashba that said that what's lav bracha chashuva? Lav bracha chashuva just means that since it's not directed towards a specific food, since it's just a very broad bracha, it's not going to be a bracha chashuva. All it means is that it's not directed towards anything specific. It's very, very broad. And therefore, it's not a bracha chashuva. Like, it's not a pointed bracha towards a specific food, towards a specific feeling. It's just like a general statement. And therefore, one could potentially say it at any time. But Toso says, "Velo nira." I don't like this pshat at all. The cave on the bor nefashos takuna keneged ala gefen ki hichi ala gefen ba yishura be bor nefashos rabos nami ba yishura. So Toso says he does not like this pshat of the Ri at all. Why? Because what's bor nefashos keneged? Bor nefashos keneged ala gefen, and since bor nefashos is keneged ala gefen, since that is a deraisa concept, so we're going to say just like that needs a shear, so too bor nefashos needs a shear as well. Bor nefashos would not be different than any other bracha achrona. The question that we had that on that specifically is, unlike many achronim, the Rush, when he says it, he says, why do you make, he's mesupak, whether you should make, he was mesupak whether you hold like the Ri or whether you hold like Tosfos. He said maybe you would hold like the Ri because it's only derabanan, and therefore the Rabbanan could have established that unless at a shear. Or maybe you would hold like Tosfos that it's based on, and he doesn't say ala gefen like Tosfos says. He says it's me'ain shalosh. He brings him on a more broad scale. Meaning what? It's not specific to ala gefen. It's just a general concept of bracha achrona is a doraisa concept. And therefore, since it's paralleling the full doraisa concept of me'ain shalosh, so now we're going to say, oh, this also needs to have a shear. But Tosfos, for some reason, he just points it straight at one thing, that's ala gefen. And we ask in shir, why did Tosfos do that? So I was not sure about this either, so I went to Rebbe yesterday to see what pshat was. I also asked Aaron, and we concluded that it's very unclear why Tosfos wanted to say it. Rebbe said he said a pshat, but he wouldn't say it again because he's not confident in it and won't say it out loud. The only pshat that we may come up with is that the Ri was talking about drinks, and therefore bor nefashos would work for any size of a drink, and then comes Tosfos and says, oh, it's bor nefashos is connected to ala gefen, which is also a drink, but it's not really clear from the Ri here that he's specifically talking about drinks. So to say that the Ri is talking about drinks and then Tosfos parallels him with ala gefen for him to be talking about shtia, is it necessarily the best way to describe what's happening in Tosfos? It seems more on a broad level that they're talking about all foods, all the time, in any situation where I have less than a shear of any food. To say that the Ri is talking about shtia is a little bit far-fetched. Fine. So those are like the major points that we had about stam, bracha, bracha achrona, bracha rishona. And just the last thing was the kolbo. The kolbo wanted to say that maybe the mevarich wasn't talking about a bracha achrona like Tosfos wanted to say, but rather was actually talking about a bracha rishona. Our sugya is talking about a bracha rishona. So the obvious question is, if our sugya is talking about a bracha rishona, we know that bracha rishona doesn't need a shir. We know aser lehonas palomazam below bracha. The Kesef Mishnah said maybe we could learn from a kava chomer, from the kava chomer had earlier on daf lamed heyam and aleph, about how bracha rishona is learned from bracha achrona is learned from bracha rishona, and since bracha achrona gets a shir, so too bracha rishona where it's learned from gets a shir. But Toso said it's not a good kava chomer. And then he wonders, okay, so why would it even be in the first place? Okay, so it's not a good kav v'chomer, but why would the Rabbanon establish also the hanas v'lom hazeh v'lo bracha more machner shita on the Rabbanon than establishing a shir on a d'oraisa? Why would it be that would be more machner for the Rabbanon than the d'oraisa? So we gave two answers to that question. First was the way that we said it, was that let's say I was planning on eating something. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be a gevaldic steak. And I'm like, I'm gonna have less than a shear. I only want a little bite. I want to see how it tastes for the meal later. And then I'm like, whoa, that steak was gevaldic. Like, it was so good. I'm gonna have some more. So now I put myself in a situation where, oh my gosh, I'm gonna eat without saying a bracha. I'm gonna eat without asur lehanas palom hazeh below bracha. I am gonna end up eating without making a bracha. So the Rabbanon established, no, you have to make a bracha on even a little bit because maybe I'm gonna eat more than I want. The Ra'al says it a little differently. The Ra'al says it's not that I'm planning on eating a little bit and then now maybe I'm going to eat more. He says the opposite. He says, maybe I'm going to want to eat a ton. I'm going to have a burger and I'm going to be like, this burger looks unbelievable. I'm going to take a bite and be like, oh wow. So like Shlomo made the burger. He doesn't know how to make burgers. It's disgusting. So I'm going to spit it out. So now I just made a bracha levatala because I tasted a little bit, but it needs a proper shear. I didn't get a proper shear. So the Ra'al says, therefore we made a bracha on just a kol shear. Why just a little bit? Because maybe I'm going to spit it out, and the bracha won't be a bracha levatala because I was lehanos. I had a hana from this food. So those are the two shitos. The kolbo, like we said, it says that maybe it's even a bracha rishona. How can he say it's a bracha rishona? So maybe he'll say, unlike the way that the Kesef Mishnah wanted to break it down, to say that also lehanos v'lo mazeh is required on a kol shehu, but rather, no, the establishment of also lehanos was only on a shir. So how could I get a bracha rishona? That also lihanos below mazeh, below bracha, is only at a certain point. So I can eat a little bit up until a certain point. Once I get up to a certain point, now I have to make a bracha. Why would that be? Maybe you could say something like mat emes, like we had earlier. I think it's daf yedalid, something like that. Whatever, fact check it. Maybe something like mat emes, where like even if I taste a little bit, it's not called achila. It's only called achila once it gets to a certain shear. So it's also lihanos in achila b'olam hazeh b'lo bracha once it gets to a certain spot. But you come up with different svaras for why that would be. But those are the two major shitos. David Dalit? Okay, great. Fine. So now Tosos, now this is like the tough cheshmini part of this whole thing, and that this is the Yerushalmi about Rav Yochanan. So before we said before, what's the case in our Gemara? Rav Yochanan, he had a zayas, he made a bracha achron on it. How could he make a bracha achrona? It's less than the shear. You remove the pit. Oh no, it's fine because it's a certain size. It's a Beinoni still. That was our Gemara, but we quoted a different Gemara in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, Rav Yochanan hechi brif azayis halo havi shura. How could you make a bracha on this zayis? It's not the proper shear. Vika amar mishum beria dafil lo achal elo prey the achas shel anav prey the achas shel rimon ba'i bruche mishum de beria. So, the Gemara in Yerushalmi gives a completely different answer. It has the beginning. How could you make this bracha? It's less than the shear. No, it's fine. Why? Because it's a beria. It's on a whole entity. Oh, so what does a whole entity have to do with anything? Even if it's less than a kezias, a beria would be chayav in a bracha. Okay. So, we have to explain what's the difference between our Gemara, where the Gemara answers, oh, the pit was removed and now it's batrali shiura. Oh, no, it's the proper shear versus the Yerushalmi, where it seems to say nothing about the proper shear. It seems like the Zayas is not the proper shear, even with the pit in it. Maybe the pit doesn't count towards the Kazayas at all. So why would it be that we answer Barry over there and we answer about shear over here? So Tosos tells us right away, V'cholik al-gemara di-dan k'demash mahacha im-kein ein halacha k'moso shir Yerushalmi. He just says simply, it's a machlokes between our Gemara and the Gemara over there. What's the machlokes? So maybe we could say how they define kezayis and kebetza to begin with, how the Rabbanan established the shear of kezayis and kebetza. The shear of kezayis and kebetza for a food item, is that d'oraisa or is that the Rabbanan? So if you say that it's d'oraisa, that it's chashiv in the Torah, so maybe you could say the same thing for a beria, then a beria is also chashiv in the Torah, and therefore the beria would be a proper shear, proper amount for you to be chayiv in saying a bracha. By us, maybe, the Bavli is positing that no, that that kazayas and kabetza me'in shalosh is only a dirabanan concept, and therefore the dirabanan established what's chashiv. Is this amount chashiv? So yes, the amount's chashiv, but maybe a beria is not considered to be chashiv. And therefore, it's just a machluk. It's, is a barrier chashiv or is a barrier not chashiv? Is a barrier counted or is a barrier not counted? Here in our Gemara, we're saying, the Bavli is saying it's not counted at all. In the Yerushalmi, he's saying, no, a barrier would be a proper shear, be a proper amount. It's chashiv, and that's how the Rabbanan established. But there are many other ways to understand it. Specifically, the next line in the Gemara, which is not that there's a machluk as Bavli and Yerushalmi, but really they're the same. They both hold a barrier, and we have to explain how that would be true. So our Tosfos continues. Rav Yosi Hayim Mefarish Harisheri Shalmi Eino Cholik Al Gemara Shelanu Dehacha Mayri Shehasra Hagar Anim VeNimloch. What's our Gemara talking about? Where I took out the pit. So now it's not a barrier. Being before it was a barrier, but I took out the pit, and therefore it's no longer a barrier anymore. Keva Deshakli Legarine Batuli Shira. Now it's about shear. It's a shear problem. Over there, it would be true that it would not be true. Im kein lo hayu kabariyaso aval im achlu shalim afilum hayu preida achas shalimo nevarich alav tchilu v'sof. But in the Yerushalmi, what is it? It's I ate the entire entity. So therefore, even though it might not be the proper shear, but it is an entire entity. So that was one way to understand it.
And this is the massive two different stories.
Two different stories going on here. It's not the same. It's the halacha would be exactly the same, but there's two stories that are going on here. Here in our Yerushalmi, here in our Bavli and Yerushalmi. Two completely different things going on. And that's the first way to explain it. We then had we just wanted to know, it sounds like in the Yerushalmi, just if we could think about it for a second, it sounds like in the Yerushalmi that does the pit count for the shear of the Zayas? No. Why? Because if it was true that the olive was whole, because in we're saying in the Gemara, there are two different stories. In our Gemara, we removed the pit. In the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, the pit was still in there. And yet, the Gemara answers in the Yerushalmi that it's about barrier, not about shear. So if the pit counted towards the shear, and it was the same olive as over here, before the pit was removed in our Gemara, the shear was the proper size. Now, when I removed it, it's no longer the proper size, potentially. But for sure, when it was in there, it was the proper size. Yet in the Yerushalmi, I didn't remove it, and the Gemara answers, it's a barrier. So it seems like in the Yerushalmi, just fundamentally, the pit doesn't count towards the shear at all. Before the pit was even removed, it didn't count for the shear, and that's why it wasn't a proper shear. In our Gemara, it sounds like the pit dafka is part of the shear itself. So which one is it? If they agree in terms of halacha, they should be consistent about the halacha. So the Rashba says, really in a chenami, the pit doesn't count towards the shear. And yet, really, we're really struggling how to read our Gemara. The Gemara there, you could say that the pit doesn't count, and therefore the only thing that's saving it is the barrier, the fact that it's whole. By us, and this is what we were talking about in Shir a while ago, was that if that's true, so then I have a Zayas Meliach, okay? I take out the pit. So now, you're right, it's not a barrier, but the pit didn't matter because even before I took out the pit, it wasn't the proper shear because the pit, like we said, consistently doesn't apply to the Zayas itself. So if that's true, so then what does Kivun Deshakli Lagarine actually mean? I mean, what does it matter if I took it out or not? The shear is not the proper size, regardless of if I took it out, because the pit shouldn't count towards the shear itself. So we answered, I forget, maybe it was even claimed, but I'm not sure. Someone over there was saying that maybe Kevan the Shakli Lagarine doesn't mean that I removed the pit. It means that the pit isn't nichlal in the Zayas itself. And you would say, how can you make a bracha on the Zayas Meliach since the pit is ki'ilu, it was shakalai, because it doesn't count towards the size of the zayas, but le'shira, the size is small. And the Gemara answers, no. Since it was a zayas gadol, even though the pit doesn't count towards it, as ki'ilu, it was shakalai to begin with, then we're going to say, oh, it's fine, because it's a beinoni. So that's how you would read it for the Rashba, that they're both talking about cases where it wasn't a kazayas, or the pit wasn't involved in the kazayas, but you'd have to reinterpret how you read Kevan the Shakli the Garine, because without doing that, it seems like there's a major stira sagamara between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. That was one way to read it. The other way to read it we saw was Rav Yochanan put the whole entire olive in his mouth in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, but then he spit it out, and even that would be considered to be a problem. And why was everyone staring at him? Because he spit it out. So now the pit's not in there. It's not a barrier anymore. No, it is a barrier, because even though he spit it out, that's still enough to be a barrier. Versus our case, where it wasn't that he spit it out, it just, it came without the pit in it, and therefore it was never going to be chayav in barrier, and it's also less than the shear because the pit is now out of the shear. And then the last way to read it was that it wasn't even that he put it in his mouth. He removed it before he even put it in his mouth. Like, he took it out before he ate it, but he took it out himself, versus, in our case, Rav Yochanan, where he got it and there was no pit in it for him to take out. So therefore, that's a gigantic chiddush. That's the chiddush of the Rosh. And he says that even if I took it out, as long as I took it out, that would still be considered to be a barrier. And the last shita of this was the Rabbeinu Yonah, which is a wild Rabbeinu Yonah, which, Arye, if you want to know about the Nachas David, the user-friendly Nachas David, who talks about the Magen Avraham, he gives a whole nother shout about this. But for our purposes, just to keep it more simple and to keep it moving, is that the Yerushalmi was saying was that there's actually a machlokas by the Yerushalmi about specifically by an olive itself, because the olive, the pit, isn't part of the achila. So if it's not part of the achila, is it still considered to be a barrier even though you're not going to eat the pit anyway, because you can't eat it, it's not part of the achila? Yerushalmi would say even though the pit is not edible, it's still part of the whole entity. Versus the Bavli would say that's not necessarily true, and therefore it's not a barrier, and therefore has to be defined as Bater Leshira. That was the Yerushalmi. Fine. I guess we'll move on to Tor Mitzvah. So that's the end of the Yerushalmi about Zayis Meliach. Ayein Sham, Aaron's notes for further Iyun. Fine. The Od Yesh Yerushalmi, a new Inyan completely, and that is Hecha Devarich Ator Mitzvah Al Melichle V'Nafal Miyaldei V'Shak Al Acharina Ba'i Brucha Zimna Acharisi. So it seems like halacha is brought down in the Yerushalmi that if I have bread and I slice it and it falls, I would now have to make an additional bracha. So Tosfos continues, the parich ma'ishna me'emas amayim. What would be different than, about emas amayim? Perush the mevarich lishtos v'hani azli v'hani acharina ninu. V'ein tzarich levarich pamacheres. Why would it be that if I'm by a river, I make a bracha and then the water passes by, that would be considered to be, why would I be allowed to go take a cup and scoop it out? I didn't make a bracha on the water that's in front of me now. I made a bracha that was on the water that passed. Say no, mishani halcha have a daito mitchilu lazeh sheyodeya sheyilchu lahen v'al b'tor mitzvah lo yado sheyaflim yado. This one, you know the water is coming, but by the tor mitzvah, you don't know, your intention is not to chuck the piece on the ground. It fell. Well, you weren't expecting it to fall, and therefore the two cases are not parallel. Tosu seems to be using this gemara to answer the question to say, oh, why would it be that Tor Mitzvah would be chayav, or would be chayav to make another bracha? Because it fell, he didn't have it in mind. And why would Emas Hamayim not be like that? Because your intention is for the water. But it doesn't seem necessarily from the Yerushalmi itself that that's the answer to the question. It could be that it's just defending the question. Why would Emas Hamayim be different? Not, okay, now the halacha by Tor Mitzvah is that it fell, and now I have to make another bracha. We still have that question. Do I have to make that bracha or not? But maybe the answer of it's different because the water is coming and I'm making the bracha on the water that's coming is just an answer to why Emas Hamayim is different than Tor Mitzvah. It doesn't mean that we know the answer now of Tor Mitzvah like we did before. So that's just hard to make. And the second hard to make is that Tosfos leaves out two very important lines of the Gemara, and that's of the Yerushalmi, and that's these two lines. So we said in the Yerushalmi, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Ein Mevarchan Al Pas, Elo B'Shal Shu Poris. You don't make a bracha on the pas, except when you're actually cutting it itself. And then Amr Bichir Barva, Hada Amra, a case, on the Nasav Igula Umivarich Iluvei, Bahakalo Osi Biyade. So I have a case, I make a bracha on a food that's not here yet, and what happens? And it's not in my hands yet. Sarik Mivarcha Iluvei is Man Tanisa. I have to make another bracha again, because it wasn't in front of me. I made a bracha on a food that wasn't here. So these two lines of Yerushalmi are missing from Tosfos. How do they actually work? So we saw Prima Gadim. And the Prima Gadim just broke it down in three different shitos, so we'll just say them out and try to keep it a little bit moving. We had the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, and then we had a third opinion of the Prima Gadim. So the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah said, what's the Tanya Bechia, Ein Mavarchan Alapas, Elo B'Shal Shu Poris? That case is talking about Tor Mitzvah. It's passing the luck of Tor Mitzvah that one's not supposed to slice bread unless it's right in front of you, unless you're eating it right now, in order to make sure that it doesn't fall. And this is the halacha that we paskin. This is the halacha by tormasa. Don't do tormasa, or make sure that you eat it right away, or that you cut it and you take a piece and eat it right away, in order to make sure that it doesn't fall, and then you would have to make another bracha. This line of the Yerushalmi would be passing the halacha of tormasa. The second line of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ba, he says, is an example of the case of tormasa where it would fall. And he just has to reinterpret the words lo asi biyadeh. It didn't come to my hands yet. It doesn't mean lo asi biyadeh. It means it's very shver, but it probably means something like it fell out of my hands. It didn't. I made a bracha and it fell out of my hands. Lo asi biyadeh. It's like no longer in my hands. It fell out of my hands. So that would just be an example of the case of the Rosh and the Rebbeinu Yonah, of the tormasa passing halacha, that tormasa would need another bracha. The Rambam quotes, it says the same thing as the Rosh and the Rebbeinu Yonah, that the first line of Tani Yerichia, Ein Mavarchan al Pas, Elo B'Shal Shu Poris, is passing the halacha of tormasa, that you're not supposed to make a bracha, besides for that sliced bread. If the bread falls, then you're chayv to make another bracha. But the case of Rabbi Chiya Bar Va of Lo Asi L'Yadeh, where I was making a bracha on something that wasn't here yet, that wasn't talking about the case of tormasa. That was a completely new case, a new idea the Yerushalmi is bringing in. And the last way to read these lines of Gemara is that they're both completely unrelated to tormasa, and they're both talking about cases where it wasn't here yet, or it's not passing l'alacha anything about tormasa. They're two completely different cases. And then you could just say, depends if you go l'kula or l'chumra about the case of tormasa. Either you say you make a new bracha if you want to go l'kula, or l'chumra, and if you want to go l'kula, you don't have to make another new bracha. But the third way to understand it is that they're all unrelated. These two lines are not related at all, and that's why Tosfos didn't even bring them, because they have nothing to do with tormasa whatsoever. So those are the three shittas of the Prima Gadim, the way we broke it down. And we just asked two questions. Okay, so let's say two things. Number one, let's say I had in mind that I wanted to have the food that's in the kitchen. Let's say I had a complete kavana for that food. Does that make a difference? Or let's say if the fruits are actually in front of me, like the other, I have these two things, I make a shackle. Does this take everything here? Or not a shackle, but two fruits. Does this counteract everything here? Am I able to now make a bracha on whichever one I want, eat whichever one I want? If this one falls, now I can take the water. Is that how it works? So we had three shitos. It's in a beautiful chart. I didn't have this in my notes. Shkarach Aaron. The Ber Halacha, the Rama, and the Ravid. So the Ber Halacha says, doesn't matter. Nothing matters. If I have kavana, no kavana. If it's in front of me, it's not in front of me. Only the thing that I make a bracha on itself is what I actually made a bracha on. If I made a bracha on this cup of coffee, if this falls, I have to make another bracha. Even if I had in mind for this water, doesn't matter. Game over. The Rama says, no, if I have kavana, whether it's in front of me or not in front of me, it doesn't matter. Those would be nichlal on the bracha. Everything else would not. If I didn't have kavana, even if this was in front of me, if I only had kavana for the coffee, but not this, so that would not be good, and it would not be allowed. And the Ravid says, pretty much anything is allowed. If it's in front of me or I had kavana, it's allowed. But if it's not in front of me and I didn't have kavana, so then I would have to make another bracha again. So those are the three shitas. So depending on the shita, it depends whether or not I actually have kavana, or if it's in front of me at the moment. Fine. It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's Shulchan Aruch, Tosos, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah, all those. Yeah. And then I think also the Ravid's Rabbeinu Yerushalmi. Don't quote me on that. Fine. The last thing in Tosfos was the idea of Baruch Shem Kavod. Machos Olam Bo'ed. When do I say it? Do I say it? He just says, Vayomer Baruch Shem Kavod Machos Olam Bo'ed. Mishum Dehavi Bracha Levatala. V'cheinach Olom Rakol Bracha Levatala Baruch Shem Kavod Machos Olam Bo'ed. So what does Tosfos mean? So him and the Rosh mean, it's probably not that it takes away the Bracha Levatala that you made of the Tormasa, but rather, it's a kapara. It's like, okay, great, I made a mistake. Let me do Slach Alon Avi Kichatanu Baruch Shem Kavod Machos Olam Bo'ed. That's how the Rosh and Tosfos understand it. Versus the Rambam, who says, no, he uses the Lashon Kadesh Shelo Lahotzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. It's like, Ke'ilu, you're retroactive, like on the spot, just saying, it's like Tol Kadei Dibor. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't want to say that. It's actually getting, it's not just Kapara, but it's also getting rid of the Baruch Levatala that you actually did. It's weird because there's two cases that we talked about. We talked about Nafal Miyado and Lo Asi Liyade. So we're wondering, the Rambam only puts it next to one of them. I think it's Nafal Miyado. And the question was, why does he only put it next to one of them, this idea of Baruch Shem? Why not both? So maybe we said if it wasn't in front of you, so maybe it's going to be too long of a time period for you to say Baruch Shem Kamachsol Lavo Ed in a proper way for you to have it get rid of the bracha completely versus the way we said it previously, which was that it fell right away, so I could just say Baruch Shem Kamachsol Lavo Ed as soon as it falls. And in that case, maybe the Rambam would say that it would be good to say Baruch Shem Kamachsol Lavo Ed, but maybe not by the case of where it's not in front of you. Okay, that was Tosfos Basar Leishira. So now we're going to do the next part of the Gemara. A nice, cute story that is very enjoyable. Nema, less in your face. Nema kitanoi. Danutre talmide de have a yasur kame de bar kapara. Hevyu lefanov kruv v'dermoskin v'pargios. So there's two talmidim. They were in front. They were there and in front of bar kapara. And he told them, here's a bunch of food. Kruv, d'maskin, pargios. What are they? We'll get there in a second. So he said, one of you guys, go make a bracha rishona for us. And it's probably bracha rishona, we'll see Tosus in a second. So Kalfatz, he jumped up, barich ala pargios. He went straight towards the chicken. And then what happened? He said, what are you doing? You can't do that. That's crazy. Fine. Let's see Rashi's. Rashi says, Dormoskin. Fine. Af hein shlokos me'esev, shekorin akhtaloshit. Fine. Belaz, kachar isi perish babakama, shirabainu yitzak, Rabbi Huda. He says, it's hadama. It is shlokos are, the shlokos is hadama. Great. And he says another pshat, of alkan perish prunch. Okay? He says prunch. V'chein shamati ani kanu v'bakama prunch, and he says v'i afshal amida. It can't be that it's prunch. Why can't it be prunch? To im kain harei brachaso borei priya eats. Oh boy! So he says that the bracha is borei priya eats. V'heich kaldam ubarich al pargiyol shibrachaso shakol ve'enum kidiv rachashivim can befarish v'azel. Can't make. How could you make a borei priya eats or shakol before a borei priya eats? That doesn't make any sense. The order of the brachos would be ha'eats would come before shakol. So obviously, Rabbi Akiva Eger jumps on him almost immediately and says, "Can't be that. How does that make any sense? Why would ha'etz be any different? We know that ha'etz is the same thing as hadama in terms of its placement in front of shakol. Hadama also would be a big problem. So that was the Gilgun Hashas, and he was very curious about why that might be true. So we saw three shitos. One of them was the Rosh Yosef, and the other one was." Another shout of the Rosh Yosef, the Birchas HaRosh, the Pinyon Yeshua. And then the last one was Rebbe's Ha'ara, that was also very Gevaldik. So the Rosh Yosef says, Rashi holds that the idea of Shlokos is only, like kind of like the Taz, it's only by Yerakos. It's not by Ha'etz. So yes, when I'm, potentially, if I cook a vegetable, so the vegetable might become a Shakol. But if I cook a Ha'etz, so even if the Ha'etz is cooked, it's still going to be Ha'etz. It's going to maintain Ha'etz. And therefore, it can't be that this is ha'etz. Why? Because there's a world in which this one would be ha'etz, it would maintain its bracha ha'etz, and then it would precede any bracha that would come before it, and that would be a very big problem. So that was the Rosh Yosef. It's kind of like, I think about like the Taz, maybe I'm wrong, but it's all it is, it's Shlokos doesn't apply to Peiros the same way it does by Adama, or ha'etz the same way it does to Adama, and therefore, one, this can't be that Prunch. The prunch can't be here because it's ha'etz, and that would not work. The second way to say it was like the Pnei Yeshua, and he just says that it wasn't shlokos. The case of the Ramoskin wasn't a case of shlokos. It was just the prunch was a plain apple or a plain fruit, and therefore it's not shlokos, and therefore it would always be ha'etz, and it would always come before the shahakol pargiot. That was way number two. So way number one was like the Taz. Even if it's shlokos, it maintains ha'etz. And way number two, it wasn't just a mitzvah thing. It's not shlokos. It is raw. It is chai. It is ha'etz. And therefore, it's always going to come before. And the last way we wanted to say it was, it's more like the way Jared was explaining it, was it's a history pshat. It's what was this previously? So when I cook a fruit, at some point in time, it was a fruit. So it's basically, you're saying, here's what you have against each other. You have a shahakol, a regular shahakol, versus shahakol, but it had a history of being ha'etz. So that history is going to put it ahead of what we have now. only question on that shot was later on, we don't really take that into account when we're talking about Krov versus the Paragiot, and whether or not that would actually maintain itself as a pshat. That would be a perfect place to put why Kruv would be better than Paragiot. Because why? Because that has a history of being a Dhamma, and therefore it should overtake the shackle. If this pshat was correct, so then what about later on? And so I'm sure there are answers, but I guess you have to know why that would be. So that was just on a basic level. Tosvos has a little bit of a different read. He doesn't really talk about any of the nitty-gritty that we were speaking about. He just says, Paris Rashi, Prunch. And he says, Velo Nira. Why? He kind of like jumps Rashi's step a little bit, where he says later, it says, oh, what are the options? You're either make a Dhamma or a Shahakol. Those are the options about Shlokos. Either you're going to make a Dhamma, or one opinion thought it was a Dhamma, and one opinion thought that, no, it was that Shlokos was a Shahakol. There was no Ha'etz involved. So therefore, if Imkain, Bor Per Eitz, Vayi Bruche, Bor Per Eitz would get the Bracha over the Adama. Therefore, it has to be that we're talking about a Min Kruv, because the mention in the Gemara was talking about Ha'adama, not talking about a Ha'etz. So we maybe give a potential answer that maybe the Ha'adama is Lavdafka, maybe Ha'adama is also Ha'etz, it wouldn't really be any different. Just here it happens to be that we're speaking about things that are Ha'adama, but maybe Eitz would be included also in Shlokos as well. That's what we saw earlier. Rashi himself uses the Lashon of Yerek, but later on we talk about Zayis Maliach, so maybe Zayis Maliach, which is also a fruit, would also be involved. But that's Tosfos. Tosfos jumps more to the chase and says, oh, it's a min kruv for that reason, because we say it's Adama. Okay, I guess we'll continue on in the Gemara. So now, Kauris Bar Kapara, he was very upset. Amar lo al mevarich anikos, I'm not mad at the mevarich, but ela al melaglik anikos, I'm actually mad at the person that jumped on the mevarich. Because why are you making fun of him? He never had it before. It's a davar chashuv. A davar chashuv would win. But then chazar ve'amar lo malaglig on nikoes ella al mabarich on nikoes. I'm not mad at the malaglig. I'm actually mad at the mabarich. Why? V'amar im chachme inkan. If at least if I'm not a chacham, zikna inkan. Is there no zikna here? You're required to ask me the questions that you're wondering. What exactly is the back and forth? So we saw the marsha. The Marsha just says what happened. Originally, the Malaglig, he wasn't coming and saying, oh, what are you doing? He wasn't being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo, which is what originally Bar Kapar thought he was doing. He's saying, why are you being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo? Why are you saying he has to make on this food first? It's a davar chashuv. He's saying, no, I wasn't saying that he has to make on the food, says the Marsha. I was saying he's being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo by not asking you which food to make the bracha on. Now that he didn't ask you to make which food to make a bracha on, I'm going to jump on him and say, why do you make a bracha on that one? You have to ask. So then Bar Kapara says, oh, fine. You're not being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo. He's being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo. Therefore, why didn't you ask me? Chachma inkan, zikna inkan. I'm a zakin. You have to ask me. Then what happens? Tana v'shneim lo hotziu shnasim. They didn't make it out of the year. So just one question on the Marsha. Why would it be that the Malaglig wouldn't get out of the year? He wasn't being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo at all. So this is one of the questions we asked, but not answered in the Marsha. So we're gonna just go by it. Fine. My love, Hakam Miflegi. So the Gemara tries to be Miyashiv. The Mivarich Savar Shlokos Paragios Shahakol Nia Bidvaro Hilka Chaviv Adif. So now they're all equated. All the Shlokos and the Paragios, they're both Shahakol, and therefore he was deciding between which one is more Chaviv to me, the Paragios or the Paragiot or the Shlokos. He decided it was the Paragiot. Therefore, I'm going to make on the Paragiot. And when Laglik suffer, no, Shlokos bor pri Adama, Paragios shakol nebidvaro. That the Shlokos were Adama, the Paragios were shakol, and therefore, Hilkach pira adif. Therefore, he should be making on the vegetable. This also doesn't sound like the Marsha, because if the Marsha was correct, the Malaglik was just, he wasn't weighing in on what the bracha was. He was just saying, I don't understand why he's being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo. The fact that the Gemara is coming and saying, here's what the Malaglig's pshat was, so maybe the Pashup pshat is he was also being more halacha b'fnei Rabbo, and that's why he was originally upset with him. And then you could just read it like that. It doesn't really fit so well. You have to know why, like, he went back and forth between being upset at each one. Now I'm not upset at the Malaglig. Well, he also was more halacha b'fnei Rabbo, so you should be upset at him also. But again, you have to figure out exactly what the story is, but these were the two shitas. Says the Gemara, lo, no, the Kuli Alma, Shlokos, Vipargios, Shahakal Nyan Bidvaro, B'hacha b'hai svara k'miflagi mar savra chavav adif u'mar savar k'rub adif t'zayin. So he says, no, really, dekuli alma, everyone agrees that pargios are shahakol and that shlakos are shahakol, but rather it's a really a machlokas about chavav adif versus k'rub adif, because k'rub has a special quality that it's zayin, and therefore it would also be maybe potentially good enough for you to say the bracha on. And if you want to say another pshat, which was Rebbe wanted to say, was that it's also his three pshat, that maybe you could say, or maybe you want to stick in, that additionally, along with the fact that it's Zion, it also has a history of being a Hadama, which would then overtake the Shakel. It's not clear why it's not said, but anyway, that was the pshat. I think, oh, there's one more thing. Tosfos. There's a big machlokas about Heseba, and why, do you need a Seba here or not? Tosfos, Nelson Bar Kafa Rishus Laechad Man Levarich says Venire Demari Bibracha Shalafanov the Ibishel Acharav Ha Amrinon De In Mizam Nala Peirus. So he says it has to be that the case we're talking about is where he says go make a bracha Rishona. Why? Because we don't make bracha Rishona by itself on Peirus. Why? Because we don't establish suit on it. What does that do with anything? Like Pashut, we're obviously talking about bracha Rishona. So Nachas David is stumped. Tanei Yeshua says no, not true. What's pshat here? He's not saying, oh, maybe you might have thought that this case was talking about bracha achrona. He was just saying, let me teach you halacha once we're on this topic. It has to be bracha rishona, period. And by the way, even if you wanted to say bracha, any pshat about bracha achrona, it's not true, because we're not kol v'asud on that. That was the Pnei Yeshua. Fine. And then he says, umari v'asebo. So this goes back to a Gemara. It's on daf, mem, gimel, men, aleph. And we're talking about hesebo. It's machlokas, Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says, "Lo shadu ella pass the bar yaseba, but yain lo bar yaseba." He says, "Only pass your bar yaseba, not yain or any other peros." Rav Yochanan says, "No, afilu yain nami bar yaseba. Even yain also would get hiseba." So it's a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and there's a whole lot of gears on the bottom. The question is, what shita exactly is Tosfos? It's probably not Rav, because lo shadu ella pass the bar yaseba. And here it just seems to say afilu yayin nami ba yaseba. Yayin, that's it. Just yayin. Yayin nami ba yaseba. Peros, probably not. So why would it be that you would need a seba on peros if none of the shitas in the Gemara on daf mem gimel and aleph would say that you need a seba on peros? They only would say maybe on pas and maybe on yayin. Why would it be that peros are involved? So maybe you could say that he holds like the shita of Rav Yochanan that when he says yayin nami ba yaseba, he doesn't only mean yayin, he also means Shar Peros, and therefore Tosus would be under that category. The Rush says that there is no Aseba at all by Peros. He doesn't hold like Tosus at all. And maybe Rashi says that there is Peros, but unclear. Rashi does say that we established our case over here. This whole case was over Pass. Why would it be over Pass? Because maybe you could say, what would the only way that someone could be Yotze Peros to everyone else? Well, how would that even work? If we're not able to be Haseba over Peros, then how could I now be Yotze everyone's Chiyuv of Peros over here in this case? How could that even be possible? So Rashi says it was Haseba over Pas. Why? Because even though I'm making a new bracha on them, because we're all sitting together, maybe it would be able to be Yotze everyone else alone. Maybe you need a new bracha, they wouldn't be able to be Motzi in with Hamotzi, but you would need to be able to, you would be able to say another bracha and have everyone included because I was already koveya my suda. So that was Rashi. So again, Tosu says, Haseba over Peros. How could that be? Maybe he holds like Rav Yochanan, who says that not only is Haseba over Yain back in the day, but also Yain and Shar Peros, everything they had Haseba on. Unlike the Stam reading of the Gemara, I think that's how the Ritva reads the Gemara. Unlike the Stam reading of the Gemara, where it's just specifically Yayin. Okay, fine. And I think anything else? I guess we'll just finish that Tosfos, and then we'll end there. Va'anu ein lanu shum esaver el alpas v'lekach tzarich levarich kol echad al kol davar hein peros hein b'yayin. So nowadays we don't do a seba, but that's what they used to do. Fine. And then there's the last Tosfos chaviv adif was just going through the halacha. The halacha is if you have two mine peros, the chaviv is better. If you have adama, it's better than shakol. V'chashuv la'atma nikris. I guess you have to know what that means. V'ivarch also min shayach bo pri adama. Afal pisha also min shiyes l'varach alav shakol chaviv alav. Even though the shakol might be more chaviv, you still make on the adama. And then if you have a Shivas Aminim versus anything else, you would make on the Shivas Aminim. So those are those two sugyas of Zayis Maliach and then the Malagli. Anshkar. That's all we got.